Welcome to the Rush Valley Podcast, where we talk about all things outdoors and hopefully some badass stories.
Welcome back to episode 28, I think. Now I'm starting to lose track, but got a special guest on tonight. Coming all the way from Iowa,
yep.
I'll let him introduce himself. He's kind of a local to us. We've kind of known him our whole life, but reached out on social media, and he's like, heck yeah, I'll come on. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Nick Simon. I'm working for Ozonics right now, living down in Iowa, kind of living the dream. It's pretty sweet. I really like it a lot. And, I just want to say it's been really cool watching you guys kind of grow as a podcast, and obviously your social medias are doing really good. It's been a pleasure to watch, so I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it's kind of started from myself doing it in like a little room, and then I'm like, I don't want to do this by myself. Yeah. I want to do it with all my friends and stuff. So I was like, once I moved back home, I'm like, you guys want to do this with me? And
yeah,
Jake's helping us. He's doing all the filming stuff. So it's been pretty good. I mean, we're finally
got a room.
Yeah, Jake's nice kind of
room. Yeah, it looks great too.
Jake's been awesome. Kind of like, hey, get your asses going. We got to have some podcasts here. So we're like, all right. So we've been going. So yeah, it's been good. We've had 3 or 4 episodes in the last like 4 or 5 days. So
that's awesome. That's great.
So I wanted to have you on because I'm like, you know what? You did some pretty cool shit in the last, when did you graduate high school?
2017.
Okay. Same year I did.
Yep. Same
okay.
year as you. Yep.
Okay. So then after that, you went to school in, where'd you?
Eau Claire.
Okay.
Yep.
And then went to school in Eau Claire and then just kind of, I know like the guys at Midwest, you know, they always are looking for interns. And
yeah,
what kind of made you like, all right, this is something I want to try?
Yeah. So it kind of started right when, or probably.
Scoot this a little. You scoot a little closer. There you go.
How's that?
You almost got a kiss.
Good.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah. So, I grew up hunting and fishing, just being in the outdoors my whole life. And, I was going through college and I just was like, I just don't know what the heck I want to do. You know what I mean? Right. And so going into my senior year of college, I just bought a camera and started filming. I had a really good year. I shot a buck on camera on October 23rd. And that was like going back and looking at the footage. And I was like, this is something that I want to do. Like, right. This is unreal. So at that point, I was like, I need to figure out a way to make a portfolio. So I was texting buddies like, hey, can I come film you, cousins, whatever I could do just so I could put some videos together. Cause I mean, I grew up watching Midwest Whitetail my entire life. So I was like, that'd be kind of cool to do that. So there, I actually applied at the Hunting Public first, had an interview with them, didn't get that. And then soon after, Midwest Whitetail put out their stuff, sent that in, went through the interview process and got that. And kind of the rest is history from there.
When you were like kind of getting ready for it,
I was freaking out. I was absolutely freaking out. And then you get it. I got into the interview and there's like literally every single person that I've been watching for years. Right. And it's just like, oh gosh, like this is real kind of. Right. So, but yeah, so I went through the interview process, got it. And then, graduated, in the spring of 2022 and then moved to Iowa, the beginning of July. And then I was down there with them from July to middle of January, and it was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had. Like, it was just absolutely insane. It was super cool to learn from those guys, from not only obviously the filming and producing standpoint, but just to kind of pick their brains about hunting too. Like,
management,
exactly. That was the whole summer we were filming, putting in food plots, and I had never really done food plots before, but like it kind of made me obsessed with that too. Like, I want to start doing this. Like, this is super interesting, you know. And I grew up farming, so I kind of had a little bit of a background, but doing the food plots and stuff like that, it was super cool to be a part of that. I mean, and Mike Reed, I mean, he's got thousands of acres, you know, so we'd run around on his farms. Yeah. It was pretty sweet. It was really cool.
Just playing the whole time.
Wow. Yeah.
And those guys are the best for like building a farm. Like,
you can
just tell, like,
oh yeah,
everything's exactly how they want it.
Yep.
And to work for them would just be, I mean, unreal. Just be able to ask them that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can, like, if I were to like do that, you know, like, I'd just be like, they'd probably be like, would you shut up for once?
Yeah. They would be like, you need to stop talking. Yeah. You keep asking questions I can't even think.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yep.
How many, like first year when you get down there, you just started filming right away, kind of. Do you have find your own housing and stuff like that?
Yeah, so the housing was kind of crazy, actually. When I went down there right away, I lived with Ry Ludwig for a month, who is Mike Reed's main cameraman and farm manager. So that's kind of how I got kind of roped in with doing a lot of work on Mike's farms, just because I was with Ry. So, so it just worked
out. What are you doing today?
Yeah, exactly. yep. So, and then I ended up moving in later in the summer with Gavin Katerba, who is now their main producer, and he does all their main shows and Chasing November and stuff like that. So once I got with him, it was really, really awesome to learn from him, because he's just, on the producing side, he's just next level good. So it was really awesome to learn from him. And then I lived with the two other interns at that same farmhouse too. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd your parents are like, is this real? Or like, are you?
I think they were a little bummed that I was moving away from home, but, but I mean, they knew that that's what I wanted to do. And that was my passion. So they were supportive the entire way. So
yeah,
for sure.
No, that's awesome. That's like you say, that's, you learn so much, not just from the filming aspect of things, but you're just, you know, you see why they shoot big giant deer down
there.
Exactly.
And I say this all the time, you learn a heck of a lot about yourself too, because it is an absolute grind.
Yeah.
Like you're up editing all night long. I mean, when you film a hunt, the video had to be produced and posted by the next morning. And then it's just, you go do that again. And so it was constant.
And there's no waking up in the morning and being like, I'm just going to hit the snooze. And no. Then, you know, because we've all done it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
In all those days, you just didn't want to get up and you hear a couple drops of rain hit the window and you're like, I can't go. It's raining.
Yeah.
You know, it's not up to you at that point.
Yeah. And I had a little bit kind of, it was kind of different for me, because the two other interns, they filmed guys and then produced their footage as well. I did. Do you guys know of Owen Riegler?
I don't.
He's one of the guys on the main show for Midwest Whitetail.
Okay. Shot the Wide Nine.
Yep. Shot the Wide Nine.
You know who he is.
You'd know him if you saw him for sure. But I was in charge of producing all of his daily stuff, and so I wasn't filming the stuff that I was producing. His cameraman would send me the stuff, so it was a little different from that side, because the other guys were filming their stuff and then producing it. But then I would film Gavin Katerba, and just on the days that I didn't have as much really stuff to do. So that part was a little different, just because I kind of wish I would have been producing my own footage kind of throughout the year. But it was really cool to film Owen's stuff, because I mean, he shot Wolverine, who's chasing for years, and then he shot Y9. So it was cool to kind of be a part of that story a little bit.
Right. So like, when you talk about, you get there in July, What are the things you're starting to do right away, like filming? I mean, obviously food plots are coming up, and you know, when I think about it, it's like summertime. You're like, food plots, and maybe going and doing some trails,
trimming
but stuff.
Yep.
Every day you're going out and kind of doing stuff.
Yep. So
just tell me kind of what July looks like.
And pretty much every single day we were filming some sort of food plot, like you were saying, trimming tree stands, hanging sets, that type of stuff. And then actually we were working with a lot of older footage and learning the producing side as well.
Oh, sure.
But then pretty much every single night we were velvet filming every night. It's a great way to learn the camera, and it's sick because you're seeing giants pretty much every night too.
What do they run for cameras?
A lot of Sony A7S3.
Okay.
I actually started out on a Canon XF400, which is pretty similar to the ones that you guys got, just a little bit bigger, but
camcorders.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Camcorders. Yeah. Yep. But then, pretty quickly we kind of got moved over into the Sony stuff. Cause I mean,
they're so much better.
They're just so crispy. Yeah. You just can't beat them.
Right. Harder, a little harder to run, but
yeah, definitely
just way better when it comes to the finished product.
Yeah. Once you learn it, and it's like, you can never go back. Really. Yeah.
Right.
So
what, like, obviously you're kind of filming for yourself, you know, when you're first got your camera.
Yep.
What were you using, like, editing software wise?
I've always been on Premiere.
Yeah.
The entire time.
So when you got down there, was it like you just continued to learn so much more as you?
Yep.
They have like a book you look at, or do you just like watch and learn?
Actually, one of the biggest things that we did was watch the main producers edit footage, and we would kind of take notes, and they would go through kind of what they're thinking and whatnot. And And then we would kind of do the same thing. We would edit, then they would look through it. I mean, every video that we made, they proofed it and, you know, just made sure everything was good. So, and it was nice too, because they use Premiere as well. So I kind of already had a little bit of a background with it. And so it rolled in really nice, you know. Right. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So then you roll into August. No hunting season quite yet.
Yep.
Kind of same thing, velvet, just same finishing thing. Things up, doing same pond work thing. And doing stuff like that. Yep. September rolls around. Are you guys strictly sticking in Iowa?
Yep.
Just Iowa?
Yep. We, yeah, yes.
And
we
season did. Doesn't start in Iowa till
October 1st.
Right.
Yep.
So
no hunting season September either.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So we get all of September too.
Do they do a lot of stuff with like watering holes and stuff too?
Not as much. I mean, you know, obviously, Gavin, the guy that I filmed, we were 100% public land.
Oh,
so,
sure.
So for him, we weren't really doing much. But then, like Mike and them guys, they don't really don't because
they got rivers and
they
stuff
got a bunch of rivers and yeah, and that's kind of the same across the board. It seemed okay. like so.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it kind of seems like the lay of the land down there. I wouldn't say swamp land, but some of that stuff was like big, kind of flatter timber with. A little bit of swamp ground. I don't know.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but. A lot of what we hunted was kind of that river bottom type, you know, tall grass. And yeah. Right. There were some spots that was more hardwoods, but I was just so crazy. It's so different than Wisconsin. Just right. Here, there's so much timber. And right. In Iowa, kind of wherever you are, except if you're in the eastern side of the state along the Mississippi.
Yep.
But a lot of it is, it's a lot of fragmented timber. It's a lot of tall grass, rolling hills. It's very different. Very yeah. different. So,
right. Well, didn't one of Mike's farms like flood?
Oh yeah, that, yeah. His river bottom farm, yeah, like yeah. His best farm, a couple years ago. I mean, it majorly flooded.
Yeah, like, couldn't do any food plots yeah. really or anything
yeah.
like that.
Couldn't yeah. do anything. Yeah. So. Crazy.
Were you there for that?
Nope. Our year was good. Our year okay. was really good. Cool. So. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, then they have to go back in and because they don't actually farm land. Like,
no.
They just are it's farming all, whitetails.
It's all for deer. Yeah, it's wow. crazy.
So what was, you know, like when you get into October, then you're hunting basically like every day, whether someone isn't going, you're kind of going with someone?
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much whoever needs a cameraman, you're going. I mean, it was, I'd say we were probably going 5 to 7 times a week. I wow. mean, but it kind of, it worked out nice though because, you know, From my standpoint, Gavin was so tied up with doing the main show and stuff like that. So there were some days where he wasn't a guy that was hunting every single day. But then one of the interns, he was hunting every like all day sits, like just going crazy and producing still. And so, I mean, I was still producing every day, but I wasn't filming near as much as the one other intern. So
right.
It was kind of sucked, but at the same time, it was kind of nice, you know.
Right.
I would have time to do stuff and right. so, but
I just like when you're hunting on your own, you know, like I just, when I'm sitting in a tree stand, I'm like, I can get out here probably in an hour. And yeah. when you're filming for someone, you're like, you just don't get a choice. Like yeah. you're like this guy.
Don't matter how cold you
yeah.
are.
Yeah. You're like, are exactly. we getting out? Yeah. Or
I'm going to sit till 10:30 or 9:30 comes around and you're cold. You're like, I yeah. haven't seen much. Yeah. So you don't get that decision.
Yeah, right. exactly. Yep.
In October, do they like strictly hunt their food sources and stuff like that?
Yep.
Kind of stay out of all the like
yep,
timber.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly it. And then yeah. as the year goes on, they kind of move into funnels and pinch points, just your typical rut spots. You yeah. know, so
does, I know like Jared likes to hunt like right on a bedding during, yeah. during rut. Is oh, yeah. Mike kind of the same way with that?
It's tough just cause I'd never filmed him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems like he's maybe a little less aggressive on that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, I mean, there's chunks on some of his farms that are like, they just go completely untouched and it's for bedding.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then there's some spots on that river farm where it's like, you don't even need to go into bedding just because there's just deer there every right. day. Like, it's just insane.
What's like an average number you see? Like, we see 7-8 deer. We're like, nice sit.
I like, see 2, 3, 4 and I'm like... Saw deer tonight.
Yeah.
Like I'm pumped.
Like, yeah.
Like what's a, so, I mean, doe population's got to be pretty high.
Yeah. 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 For us, when we were in hunting public land stuff, it wasn't quite as much as Mike and them, but we actually got to hunt the river farm late season and it was 30, 40 deer every night.
Wow.
Every single night.
Snow on the ground.
There was no snow yet.
So if there was snow on the ground,
I would have been insane.
60.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's insane. Yeah.
But I mean, that's, it's just a testament to how they set their farms up. It's all standing beans,
yeah,
cut corn, you name it. I mean, and going in there and mowing corn down. So they have, you know, they have anything they want. I mean, right. It's literally a buffet for deer. Like, it's insane.
Do they, when they're planting food plots, like, obviously, I don't know if they think corn is king, but then like their green plots and stuff, are they sticking more like clover, chicory stuff?
I saw a lot of brassicas, brassica mixes, a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
That's, we've talked about this already, but I don't know. We're just kind of on the edge of what we want to do. I think whatever works for, you know, the farm. I just think like on a farm like that, you know, you see 30 deer a night. Well, if they see there's food there, green food there, they're going to use it. You know, like if something's passing through and they're not that hungry, they don't need to eat brassicas, you know, like maybe they're going to go to a clover plot.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like I definitely struggle with brassicas. Like I know if I plant an acre of clover, I'll have deer in it. If I plant an acre of brassica, I don't know that I will.
Yeah. It's weird. It almost feels like it's it goes from like farm to farm. Cause then we had brassicas on. So where we lived on a little chunk that we could hunt.
Okay.
Right in our backyard. And so we put a brassica plot where we could see it from our porch.
Nice.
And like
sit and drink bush lights. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And early season, I mean, they were just pounding it, just hammering it like crazy. And then all of a sudden they're just
went down.
As soon as the corn came off, there was nothing in there. Hmm. So it's just interesting how sometimes they're in there, sometimes they're not. And then another thing too is they're like, oh, once that corn comes off, you guys better be in there, whatever. It just wasn't that good. But then it seemed like all the cut bean fields were holding more deer. It's just interesting how sometimes it just.
Well, and this, you're talking like this last fall right here, right? Or no. Or was this 2 falls ago?
Yeah, 2 falls ago.
Was it pretty cold down there during that?
It was for sure colder than it was this year.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, this year it was kind of a weird year.
Yeah, it was a weird year. So, for sure.
But yeah, no, it's just interesting how that stuff can differ from farm to farm and even really deer to deer, honestly.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely think like beans and corn, obviously, like I think are key, but we struggle with sizes. Like we just don't plant quite big enough where, you know, our beans just get hammered. Our corn's just like, I don't know if it's enough.
Yeah.
Where we were kind of thinking like this year, maybe we need to fence our beans. Like,
that's,
I mean, I'm sure they have to just because of the browse pressure from all that.
That was a lot of what we did in the summer, kind of going back to that, was fencing off fields. And it was really interesting, too, because there was one spot where we didn't fence one little plot and we fenced the other one. And, I mean, it was a night and day difference.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Crazy.
That's kind of like, I'm trying to make a plot every year. I do it just a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bit. We don't have, like, the equipment, you know. They got, obviously, some of the nicer equipment and stuff. They got nice drills and stuff. I want to make one a little bigger every year. I want to fence off like a section, just a weird section of it, and then come in a little later and put my fall. Like, it's probably going to come up a little crappy where the beans are. They keep nipping them off and then broadcast something in there late August, early September,
and
then have that in there as well. But then take my fencing out as soon as that stuff starts to come up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every year we think about, like, what are we going to do? And then we just throw something in there, kind of, and it's like, we said we were going to do this, but we just don't have the right equipment.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
It's all, I mean, it's such a fun game to play.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I want to get into doing more food plots for myself, just so I can learn more and get into it, but just where I'm at now, we can't. It was weird last summer not doing anything like that.
Oh,
just,
I bet.
It was weird, but... But yeah, no, like I said, it's so fun to play around with that stuff and just.
Right. And you met so many cool people and connection wise. And like you said, you're still friends with a lot of those guys there.
Yep.
And I mean, no, that's an awesome connection to have. Yeah. Did you hunt a lot of public land now this year?
This year, a ton.
Yeah.
A ton again.
So you're packing in tree stands and doing
that? For the most part, packing in. But what we ended up kind of, you know, doing was, putting permanent sets up and then just packing my stand in.
Yep.
And then Cole, the guy that I was filming, he would crawl up, hang my stand, and then I would come up and set up there, it was just a little less, you know, less screwing around. Yeah. You know, it's hard with two people.
Oh yeah.
No matter what.
Definitely.
But then when I was with Midwest Whitetail, we were packing in every single.
Really?
But it was, we were hunting with saddles that year. So.
So did you use saddles before you?
I had not. No.
How'd you like?
I love hunting on saddles.
Really?
I don't know why. I come to really like them. And this year, actually, I might get some crap for this, but we actually hung a regular stand, and then I still used my saddle in it, and it was so awesome for filming. It was amazing. It just makes sense. So much room to move around, and everything's right in front of you. I mean, it was, at the beginning, I was just hunting out of a hang-on, and honestly, I was just uncomfortable. I wasn't a fan of it. Like, I didn't feel comfortable in it, so then we switched to that, and once that happened, it was like night and day difference.
I saw that podcast or that clip that you put out. What did you call that when you're...
Saddle standing.
Yeah, saddle standing. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Sometimes when I'm sitting in a tree stand, my knees, I'm just like, I need to stretch my knees, and then I need to stand up, where like you can sit in your saddle, kind of stretch your legs a little bit.
Or when you have the tree stand, if you really want to, you can just spin around and sit down.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It worked really, really well. I mean, you kind of... feel like an idiot up there, but it works really good.
Hopefully no one's looking at you.
So when you were at Midwest, did you kind of like, I mean, maybe you can't say, but do they give you kind of some of the stuff that you can use? And
it was tough for us because we weren't sponsored by any saddle companies, so I ended up getting a saddle, and then Gavin, the guy who was filming, he had one too, so I just went and bought one. So it worked out fine. But
did they get you like camo set up or and what do they use?
Arctic Shield.
Did you like that stuff?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Not the greatest stuff.
I was kind of curious why, and I'm guessing they probably got a good sponsorship with them and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, Arctic Shield, kind of like, I was like, I don't know, whatever, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. I mean, it was fine. It probably wouldn't be my first choice, but I mean, we had to wear it.
Yeah, so, right.
You know?
Right.
And as far as like trail cam stuff, like did they?
They ran all Cuddy back.
Right.
Cuddy back.
Yeah.
So, really? So they all Cuddy link, because they must have a ton of cameras.
Yep, all Cuddy link. And then when I was there, that's when Cuddy back came out with the Tracks.
Okay.
Which is pretty similar to a Tacticam. And that's what we ended up using, just because hunting public land, like we didn't see the need to have a Cuddy link system on public land.
Right,
so
yeah.
It was a lot easier because we were constantly moving cameras around too and whatnot. Right. So, but as for Mike and all them, they used the Cuddy link and stuff. So,
yeah.
Did you get like discount stuff when you were kind of there with those guys and stuff?
Yeah.
So it's nice. You can.
Yeah, it's super nice.
Get yourself some gear and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, if they didn't help you out with that kind of stuff, it's like it's expensive as shit.
Oh, it's all expensive, especially this day and age. Right. Like, everything is so expensive.
Right.
So then you started to work with Ozonix in last February, you said?
Last February, yep.
And that's, what do you exactly do for them, kind of?
So I'm their content creator, producer. So from a day-to-day basis, I do all the social media stuff. I film and produce ads and stuff like that. Just kind of social media. I'd say social media is probably my biggest thing. And then we got a podcast as well, so that's been taking up quite a bit of time. Doing that, producing that, and so yeah, it's pretty similar to what I was doing at Midwest Whitetail, but just it doesn't feel as like intense, kind of.
Yeah,
it's nice. I got enough
demanding.
Yeah, exactly, because I mean, we tried to hunt and create content as much as possible, but we don't have a show that like needs to have good hunts, need to have skills. Like for what we were doing, it just felt a little less pressure almost.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's a different pace and what you're kind of doing. But
exactly.
So then you guys, like for your job and stuff, like you're just creating content, and then do you go out hunting once in a while for?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We got out quite a bit this year. It was kind of a juggling act, though, trying to balance office time with hunting time. You know what I mean? It's just, but yeah, we made it work, and then got to go on a couple trips, which was really fun. We went to Texas for an axis deer hunt for 5 days, and then we hunted Neil Guy for 3 days at the King Ranch, actually, which super cool. Really cool there, and the wildlife there was insane. I mean, just giant bucks just running around the entire time. Like it was insane. And then we went to
bucks you can't afford.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That'd be nice. Yeah, you're exactly right. And then we went to Idaho for 10 days for DIY elk hunt on public land. And then we went to Montana for 5 days with an outfitter, and that was just the craziest experience ever.
Really?
I mean, just bulls everywhere bugling in your face. Like, it was literally unbelievable.
And you were just, you were filming.
I was just filming.
Yeah. For all, so you went to Idaho first?
Idaho first, and then we were in Iowa for like a day, and then went to Montana.
How was Idaho?
Slow.
Yeah.
We didn't even see an elk.
Was there
just
really?
All public.
All DIY. Public land, yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Five days?
10 days.
10 days, didn't it see was an elk?
Grueling.
Yeah. Archery?
Archery, yep.
Wow.
Yep. So we have a good buddy that lives in Idaho, and he has been hunting this mountain for pretty much his whole life. And so he pulls his camper up there. We stay right on the mountain. Worked out really nice. But they just had a really bad burn there, like really bad. So like half the mountain where he normally hunts was
burned.
Yeah, just you couldn't hunt it. So
that
kind of sucked a little bit, but it was still – I mean, that was my first Western hunt ever. So, I mean
– Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just ate up with it. It was just so cool being in the mountains and stuff. So aside from slow hunting, it was still – an insane trip. Like, it was awesome.
A lot of hiking and stuff?
Not too bad. It was really nice having his camper there because he had a side-by-side too, so we would just take trails, stop, and then go and walk. It was stuff like that. It was
how really long good. Before you guys hunted did the burn happen?
2 years before. 2 years before. But I mean, it was crazy though. I mean, you see spots that weren't burned, and then you saw the burn, and it's like, holy crap.
Anything coming up at all in the burn area just charred.
Starting to. You know, ground stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, but it was really crazy.
Yeah, last year I shot an elk in a burn.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it burned the year, 2 years before.
Yeah.
And they were like super spotty.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was areas where it was like, there's no elk here.
Yeah.
And I ended up finding a group.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool, like, because if it wasn't burned, you wouldn't be able to see like the distance.
Exactly.
So limited.
Yeah.
And I was able to actually spot elk from quite a ways away and then just, make a play.
And I think we went just a hair early too. We went first week in September.
Oh, sure.
And so they weren't callable. They weren't bugling. But then after the 10 days and then we went to Montana, it was like, I mean, they were all, I mean, it was like it was dead center of the rut, and they were just bugling like crazy.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, seriously.
Just screaming everywhere.
Seriously, yeah.
Gosh, that's a perfect scenario that, like, go to Idaho and be able to drive around and stuff. Like, like, come on, just one freaking elk
you're
driving out there.
Yep.
Did you guys get one in Montana?
No, we didn't.
You didn't?
Nope.
Was that rifle or bow too?
Bow.
Over the counter, or is it draw tag, like a lot of points? Or?
So the outfitter that we went with, so we were filming the president and the CEO of the company.
Okay.
And there's something weird. I might be totally botching this here, but with that outfitter, if you go with them, you can hunt that year no matter what.
Yeah, so how I think it works in Montana is if you are the guide and I told you I was going to go, they can get tags for you, but you have to have a deposit placed.
Yes.
And that's like how you get it.
Yeah. So that was kind of the situation there. So
it sucks that every Western state is different.
It, because literally,
there's so much to keep track of, you know, like I've hunted in Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, you know, it's like you get Kansas, Ohio, Missouri, every single thing. It's like to keep track of them. And then those Western states, Wyoming, Idaho, Colorado, you start applying for 3-4 units in each state. And it's like, you got to have, you know, like an Excel spreadsheet on what the hell you're doing and
dates of when you got to have them in by,
Well, like Idaho, I know they changed their system this past year, so like December 1st their stuff goes on.
Yep.
And however they did it, like, I know a ton of people that didn't get tags.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it's crazy. And
it's
just makes you think, like, what's it going to be like when we're our parents' age?
Exactly.
You know, when we're 40.
Yep.
It's
all going to be changing probably every year, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's like, they say there's less and less hunters. What's going to happen to the, you know, the wildlife and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think, I don't know, I think since COVID, there's been like an influx again of like the Cam Haines, like Joe Rogan, them keep doing that. You get more I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that out west hunting blew up a little.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like Wisconsin's probably similar. I don't or gone down, but yeah. That out west stuff is, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems intense.
It is.
It's yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if they're you'd have to kind of see numbers, and I'm sure you could look it up with some could have Carson do for us, but it just, I don't know. It doesn't, like, in years to come, you know, you hear everyone always talking about, like, all the hunting numbers are going down, you know, like the generation of our dads and uncles and stuff like that. You know, they used to take groups out west, and they always just, you know, they're killing elk they'd kill a cow or two cows and or a bull, you know, they'd get one. And now it's like, God, you just don't hear about that many people around here. Like, are you sending in for a few different states?
No, I don't put in for anything.
Really?
Do you plan
just,
on it?
Just because it's so hard for me because I'm so tied to filming. You don't know what I mean?
You're going
to
be available for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just.
That would be tough.
I mean, the industry, you're in. Yeah. It's like, hey, I can't put in 2 weeks here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. But for me, just being able to film it is enough for me. Like, I say that I've been on an elk hunt because it just, I was there and I experienced it and filmed it. Like, that's enough for me, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I mean, one of my biggest goals is to shoot an elk with my bow. Like, that would just be insane. But it's just, I'm just not at that point in my life now. So.
Was the Montana, was that like flat country or was that starting to get into the mountain?
That was, we were right on the base of mountains and the outfitter that we had, it was pretty small, but he had really good water, super good, like the only water on the entire mountain. And so they were coming off the mountain and it was literally insane.
Just couldn't connect, get close enough, connect.
Yeah. And a couple misses too.
Yeah. That's always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get,
that's how she goes.
I couldn't, I mean, Idaho with the burn, I couldn't imagine. Like, I had a rifle hunt in my burn.
Yeah.
And I worked hard to get to 340.
Yeah.
So with a bow in that, there's just no cover.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they were bugling still when I was there, which actually is the reason they died.
Yeah.
You know, they gave their position away and I was able to find them, but I couldn't imagine in that burn trying to get, you, even if you saw an elk in Idaho, you would have been
tough.
It would have been really tough.
Yep.
So you haven't had to pack one out.
Nope. Not yet. Still waiting for that.
that's a task.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll just be filming that
part. You guys got it. I'll film you.
This is big for the video, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't bring my pack with me. I just got camera gear. I can't get it dirty.
Yeah.
So when you're working and stuff down there, you know, is your the guy that you work with at Ozonix, is he got private land that he hunts or?
Nope, he is all permission and public land. And the funny thing is, actually, his biggest permission piece, the only reason he's on there is because the farmer has depredation tags. And so we started hunting. I think my first whitetail hunt was July 13th this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we hunted all summer, and because, dude, the number of deer in north central Iowa is unbelievable. Like, it's unreal. He's killed in the last 3 years. I think he's killed 12, 14, and then this year I think he got 11 off of just one property.
Jesus.
But I mean, he is hunting in July, so it's easy when you'll sit over a bean field and something's gonna walk by. But
almost 40 deer in 3 years.
Yeah. It's just the numbers.
And they just keep coming.
Yeah. It's just.
Can you shoot bucks on that?
Yeah. They literally, we talked to the depredation biologist and he's like, don't discriminate. He's like, if really? Something walks by, you shoot it. Like,
so how do you get to be picky during that? You know, like if you're watching a deer and stuff.
He literally, so actually it was funny just with all the trips and stuff. We didn't really have a lot of hunts. He got out more than I did. I didn't film every single hunt that he went on, but if a deer walked by, he shot it.
That's crazy.
Every time. And you can use a rifle through that time, too.
That's what...
Really?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because they want him dead.
Well,
they limit you to a bow.
Yeah, he said that biologist, he's like, you're not going out there and hunting. Like, you are going and killing. Like,
wow.
Like, you... Like, this, it's like a problem. Like, that's why he got the tags. That's why he has permission. And
well, that's what happened in Buffalo County. They were kind of like threatening to
do that.
Yeah, any weapons starting September, like,
right,
1st or whatever in the summertime. And then people from Buffalo County were just like, they got together. Yeah, they all, it was like a big Zoom meeting. And they were like, no, absolutely not, basically. And then I think the DNR in Wisconsin was like,
they backed down.
Yeah. What do people in Iowa say about that? Is it just North Central or is it?
I'm not sure.
It's got to be just North Central.
I'm sure there's places all over. And I'm sure Mike Reed could get them if he tried.
He does have depredation tags really? Down there, but he doesn't do any of the summer stuff and he only shoots does down there when he does it. And it's, so there's depredation tags that you can get in the summer. And then you also get a handful of them for the actual season and they're antlerless depredation. Okay. So he just did the antlerless during the bull season. But I'm not sure as like Iowa as a whole, like, I don't know how much there is of that. I know that the issue that farmer had was he had guys coming into doing it and then they weren't really killing the deer. Like they were just
hunting.
He wants to see,
you know what I mean? Dead. And then, like, I know that the neighbors there are probably not too happy with it either, but it's legal. And,
well, and it's not good for the deer herd to be so out of whack like that.
And this year was like the first year too where like the crop numbers were like significantly better, like way better. So like what he's doing is working. So it's awesome. It's great.
Right. So then once he harvests an animal, door buck, does the biologist take it and do research or are they?
Nope. So it's, you just treat it just like anything else.
So is he donating a lot?
Donating a lot. And then if you shoot a buck, you don't get to keep the rack. You got to send it in, then they burn the rack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's
not even worth shooting a big buck over the beans because you don't get it.
Yeah, you don't get it. You can take pictures with it and stuff. But,
sure.
But yeah. So I think they do that to,
I'm sure,
to like force people, like, you're not out there to shoot the big buck. You know what I mean?
Right. So,
yeah, it was super interesting to be part of that, and it was super weird to be hunting deer in July.
Oh yeah,
their coats are
mosquitoes
just so
are
weird.
Just
oh mosquitoes are terrible. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you film some of that stuff?
Yeah, I filmed a couple hunts. We never killed anything on film. I mean, it was pretty slow for the most part. The farmer this year, he had primarily corn, so it's kind of hard to hunt during the summer. But
yeah,
but next year it'll all be beans. So.
I mean, I even go out on a hot day in September, you know. Yeah. I would normally get, like, first 2 weeks, I'm like, I got to go.
Yeah.
I get two gnats in my eyes, and I'm like, this is why I don't go, you know. Because normally it's just, like, I like to go out and sit, like, one time before I'm really thinking that I'm going to see something.
Yep.
Sometimes you just need to get in your stand for that first time of the year, kind of
get squared away.
You always forget something. This was hung in the wrong spot, you know.
Yep.
So I always like to go, but it's always that time, and I just get pounded by gnats, and I'm like, yep, I'm good. Yep.
There's a guy that I hunt with, and he gets depredation tags in Dunn County.
Oh, yeah?
And, he said kind of, you know, it's like hunting wild hogs, like shoot once, and, you know, if it's – you think about summer, like they're coming out a little bit before, you know, last light, shoot one, and they'll stand there kind of and look around, like, whatever, and then they'll just come right back out and you just keep shooting does. But I don't think they get to shoot bucks because I don't know, that'd be so weird. I'm just thinking about that, like, shoot a buck and you're like, I don't even get to keep that
thing.
And they're still growing.
100%.
I wonder if that's per state. Like, I wonder if Wisconsin, if you shot a buck, if they do the same thing where you burn the rack and all that, you know. It'd be interesting to look into. Not that I'll ever have tags like that, but
I mean, and
interesting,
they're doing research on it. I mean, or maybe they, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously doing research on the deer herd numbers in Iowa because there's something going on.
Yeah,
you lived in Iowa Wisconsin most of your life.
Yeah,
now you're in Iowa.
Yep.
How much of a difference do you think the DNR impact of how great Iowa's DNR is compared to Wisconsin is?
It's major.
Yeah,
the way Iowa does their, from top to bottom, the way Iowa DNR does it is the way it should be done, I think. From non-residents, I think that's a huge issue in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this year I had tags in Iowa, and I just went and bought tags in Wisconsin, too, like it was nothing, as an Iowa resident.
$160.
Yeah.
It
makes sense why you should become an Iowa resident.
Yeah, exactly. It was perfect.
Right.
I'm like, tags. This is sweet. I can hunt two states for not much more money,
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's got to be like one of their biggest knocks.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And then I think season dates as well. I think starting your bow season in October is huge because I think a lot of deer get killed due to summer patterns in September.
Yeah.
Whereas in October, they might be a little bit tougher to kill. And once they're coming off that summer pattern, and then, you know, just more deer can get bigger.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah,
that's and the December gun season.
Yep.
You know,
yep. And
all that.
Yep. December gun season with no rifles.
No rifles.
No rifle. All shotgun. I mean, now you can use a
muzzleloader.
Yep. There's muzzleloader season and then you can use a straight wall cartridge. Straight wall. So, like,
and you can use, your muzzleloader through shotgun?
No.
You cannot.
No. Nope,
really?
You can't. There's okay. a separate season for it, but you can obviously you can use your bow during late muzzleloader. Yep. So,
okay.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of things that is a testament to why I think I was the way that it is. It's just set up. So, and I think their public lands are better, too, honestly. I mean, there's the public lands that we hunt. They have cornfields. They got bean fields. They got food plots that the DNR puts in.
Right.
So, it's, I don't know. I just, I'm impressed with the way that they do it, honestly.
Wisconsin, first, yeah, it just seems weird why they do some of the things they do. It's just tradition. They've done it their whole life. They're not willing to change. It'd be too hard.
Yeah.
I feel like, could be wrong, they don't really care about public land in Wisconsin. There's not a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there is up north a ton of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but there's not much you can do.
Yeah, just not good deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then you start talking about wolves and stuff like that. But just like even there's some public land around here and they don't do anything with it.
No,
it doesn't
exactly.
get touched, really. You know, once in a while, you'll see trucks there and stuff. Like, I mean, what's it like when you pull into a public land spot down in Iowa?
I think there was one time we had another guy parked there.
Really?
There's not a lot.
Really?
There's not a lot, honestly. Huh. I think there's not a lot. In our area, I don't think there's a lot of bow hunters, honestly. Well, I mean, there was, I mean, we saw one guy parked, and I think the whole year, I had two cameras on one public spot, and I think I had one guy walked by the entire year. But I mean, it's crazy where we're at. Just every single piece that you look at in north central Iowa, it just doesn't look like it should hold deer, but you'd be surprised. Like it's really insane.
When you first started hunting down there, where you're like, why are we hunting here?
Yeah. Well, like, obviously when I knew that I was moving down there, the first thing I was doing was I was on X for like 4 days straight trying to figure out where I'm going to hunt. Cause I knew I was going to be public land.
Uh-huh. Right.
And there was like a good couple of spots that I'm like, there's no way that it's just doesn't look like deer habitat.
Yeah.
You know, just, I'm not a pheasant hunter. I'm not a duck hunter. Like it just doesn't look like it would hold deer. And then I was talking to Cole, the guy I work with, and he's like, should go try this spot over there. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I literally looked at that and I looked at it for 2 seconds and I just
disregard.
Yeah. Just, and that spot was the most insane spot ever. We had 47 different bucks on camera throughout the year. And like, I mean, one of them was like a legit giant. Like there was multiple that there, I mean, we started every time we got a new buck, we would give it a number.
Yeah.
The number that we had. And then that's the name of the buck. So like, number 33 was just, I mean, just an absolute giant. There was like probably six or seven that were 130s, 140s and up. Like it was just insane, just on a piece of public.
Wow.
Did you hunt quite, you said you didn't hunt too much this year?
No. I mean, we went and hunted that spot a couple times. It was tough because like I say, we had all these bucks, but it was a lot of nighttime activity. And we were just like, let's just hold off on that spot until we get some daylight action. And we did, and we hunted it a couple times. We had an encounter with a buck that I really wanted to shoot, and so I brought my bow for that one. And sure enough, he stepped out, came to probably, I don't know, 7,500 yards and never came in. But
yeah,
we only hunted there a couple times. And then it was probably like November 20th. Our biggest buck was daylight at 9 in the morning. And I was going home that night for Thanksgiving, actually.
Oh, sure.
And so he's like, I'm going right now. And so he went and hunted and never saw him. But it's as a whole, it's a hard spot to hunt just because it's like a huge piece and there's only like one 10 acre chunk of hardwood and that's it. And so it's kind of hard to hunt. So we kind of stayed out of it as much as we could. And it just never really turned into what we thought with daylight activity and whatnot. So
not as much bedding, maybe close by, or you know, they just
yeah.
going through the you know, area.
Yeah.
It's crazy though. Like that's, I do a lot of hunting in South Dakota and North Dakota and,
yep.
you know, Nebraska a few times, and the stuff that deer will just go out and bed in, you drive right by it. Like, oh my gosh, if you're driving down the road, you just like look over at it and you'd be like, oh, whatever. But if you got out of the truck and walked into that, you kick deer out.
Yep.
And it takes a little while to like wrap your head around it.
Cause it's a very weird mindset, like going into it. But like the mindset I keep coming back to is like a deer needs three things: food, cover, and water.
Right.
And so that cover could be one oak tree in the middle of nowhere, or just one tree or anything. You know what
tall
I mean?
Tall grass.
Yeah, exactly. Tall grass.
Rolling hills.
Exactly. Okay, exactly. So it's just, it's super interesting. And that's actually the first time I saw this public piece. That's what I thought. I'm like, it doesn't even feel like, it feels like we're out west right now. Like it's very interesting. And that's how a lot of Northern Iowa is.
Yeah. So. I was weird. It is weird. It is weird when you drive through it. You're just,
you get a mix of everything with it.
You get a little out west and a little Midwest.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard. And that's why big bucks live there, is because some of it's just so hard to hunt.
Exactly.
Can't.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you think about, like, I know like Minnesota is a one buck state and Wisconsin isn't. Do you think I'd say the knock to Minnesota is that their gun season is during the rut.
Right in the middle of the rut, yeah.
But having that one buck state, I feel like, is what Wisconsin should really do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if Wisconsin made our non-resident tags where it was an actual, like, revenue for us. Like, cut the tags in half and double it. We're still making the same. We have less pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to help our deer herd. You know, like, it sucks when I know, like, a handful of guys that are local guys that are looking for hunting leases.
Yeah.
But I know 20 different leases within a half hour that are leased by Minnesota strictly.
Exactly.
And it's like, I get it, you know, like, whatever, but I feel like it would be better for our state if our DNR had our backs in that regard. And it wasn't just these easy tags, you know. I'm not saying you can't buy them over the counter, but we need to up them or limit them, make it a one buck state.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think the biggest issue and the first issue is like exactly what you said, is the out of state, how easy it is to get out of state tags. I think that's the biggest thing, followed by I feel really strongly about how the seasons are set up too. Cause I mean, our gun season, it kind of, you can get some rut action
that
first week. I mean, I've seen a lot of it hunting in Wisconsin, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those two are the biggest things. I think that's my opinion. I think if there was anything to change, it'd be something in those two lines.
Well, I would even say to like by December 1st, the rut should be pretty much done. There'll be a little tiny late rut maybe going, but like those deer just won't, the bucks will be in different areas than they would be.
Yeah.
You know, like that, if like, let's say we had an early season, November 18th rolls around. I mean, a buck that would be over here laying down, you know, might be over here because of a doe.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, that's the reason he's getting killed.
Yeah, and it helps too that you can reach out and touch him with a rifle too.
Right.
You know, and in Iowa, if you have that late cruiser or something, I mean, he's still got to be pretty close if you're shooting him with a shotgun.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Still 400 yards, he's safe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
he's not safe here.
Yeah, exactly.
Depends.
What do you think crossbows do to it?
I don't know how I feel about crossbows. It's tough because my dad shoots one, but he hurt his shoulder.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I mean,
crossbows are really touchy because you don't want to say that people can't be able to use them. But, like I look at it as if you're just fine and you can pull a bow just fine, I think it's out of respect for the animal, you should have to do it.
That's exactly right.
But at the same time, maybe there's less wounded deer. It's a little more ethical. It gets kids into it.
Yep.
There's the older guys that, you know, would maybe hang up their bow, and we lose him as a hunter.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I know it's good. There's like a weird balance of we need the hunters.
Yeah.
So that we have, you know, a voice as hunters.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's tough because
it's hard.
An advantage. It's a, like these ravens, you know, like I know a guy who went out this year, sat in his ground blind, locked his crossbow into a bog pod, sat there in his chair. Buck came out, ranged it at 74 yards, pulled up on it in his bog pod, dead set.
Oh, yeah.
Was too zoomed in on it, had to unzoom his scope, shot it right in the heart.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that with a compound bow.
No.
I mean, there's a select few people that can make a 74-yard yeah. shot sitting yeah. down from a ground blind and then heart shoot them. You
can
know?
You can you use a crossbow in Iowa?
Not during. Honestly, I'm not even 100% sure. I know that you can during late muzzleloader for sure. I think that might be the only time, though. I could be totally wrong. I'm not really sure because I know that, like, for example, like Mike Reed, like all of his kids shoot crossbows in night season.
Do they?
Yeah, that's kind of just how he's getting them into it.
Yep. But does he let his kids hunt early?
No. They're... Except for during youth seasons and whatnot.
Sure.
So,
okay.
But yeah, I guess I'm not even actually sure.
Yeah, I was just curious how, because can you hunt in Minnesota?
It just this year it opened. Okay. For everybody, I'm pretty sure on that. But like they had it where I think you could, you were 65 or whatever it used to be in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And like I think I'd be more open to it. I mean, not that there's nothing I can do. It's wide open. But if it were me, it'd be like, you know, 14 and under. And then maybe, you know, maybe let's make a medium of 55.
Yeah.
You know, instead of 65. I mean, I would say if you're 55 to that 15 years old, I mean, yeah. you're strong enough
yeah. with,
unless you, you know, you got a shot shoulder and you've had surgeries and, you know, you got that doctor's note.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you should be able to.
Yeah. I think like, I totally agree with you. It's like, I think that they should be legal, but it should matter. Anybody shouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
Like if us three were sitting here and we were talking about going to get crossbows, I feel like that'd be kind of weird. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah. I if we all owned Ravens, I'd be like,
all right.
Well, we're not really.
I mean, yeah, I get it too. You know, it sucks. Cause it's like, yeah, more people get to hunt. It gives them the opportunity.
Yeah.
But then you think about like how many big bucks that were at 50, 60 yards that we probably wouldn't shoot yeah. at. You know what I mean?
100%. 100%. At some points, it would be really nice to have one.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have definitely.
And it's the same thing with
some yeah. with more bucks.
Shotgun and rifle. Yeah. And, you know.
Yep.
Definitely.
It's got its pluses and minuses, and yeah, you're not going to do anything about yeah. it.
Right.
It is what it is. I mean, there's some other things we could change, too. When,
right.
I don't know.
One last thing on crossbows. Like, I've heard, you know, a lot of arguments for them is that they're more ethical. Like probably some less wounded deer because yeah. of it and yep. stuff. But I also know some people who treat them because they got a scope and they think they can do things that they can't do.
Yeah.
And they wound deer, you know, yeah. shooting into some brush because with their shotgun, they can do that or their
right.
rifle.
Right.
You know, and it, you know, it's,
yeah,
there's definitely deer that get wounded because of.
And I know some people that are like, I won't shoot over 40 yards.
Yeah.
And that's cool that they were just like
with a crossbow.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
40 yeah. and under is
yeah.
They don't feel comfortable going 50, and that's
right.
I props to them that they don't.
Yeah, 40's not so bad, no. but I know a lot of compound
if we just like made their
30 yard maxers.
Yeah, exactly.
You right. know. If yep. we made those, you know, just like
but you know
scopes
what?
Or something that are just like you can't see no once zoom. It's over
yeah.
40. Or, you know, I
yeah. yeah. It would be maybe magnification's a little touchy,
yeah,
but you know it's the same. Traditional bow hunters think we're idiots.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's always there's always something.
There's always something.
Yeah,
I one of my cousins has a crossbow and he's just kind of like he's a hunter. Yeah. He's just like I want meat. I want and that's fine. I, you know, that's why I'm like whatever. Anyone can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I just whenever I get out of my truck, I slam the door and I give them their fair chance, and that's how I do it. I just slam my door yeah. and I let them know,
yeah.
all right, I'm here. Yep. I'm coming, so they know I'm coming.
Yeah. yeah.
But I do have a crossbow.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
no, it is, but it's like, I don't know. It's right. one of those things. So right.
That's something I'm so 50-50 on it.
Yeah.
I am too.
I don't and know.
It varies.
Yeah.
Some days I'm like, screw it, let them hunt. And then someone kills one at 70 yards with their crossbow, and I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Right.
I couldn't just shot there. Oh, I'm gonna get one. Yeah. Just, Tristan is going to be the guy who, when he has a kid, they're going to be 4 years old. He gets him a crossbow, and one of his shooter bucks comes out, and he's like, "No, no, no, not today. This is my
today." Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. Like, what do you think? What do you shoot for a sight on your bow?
I shoot the black gold 3-pin slider.
Okay. It's, I Same think it's thing like the, he shoots.
I think it's the pro sight, I think it's called. Okay.
There's like a whitetail and like a mountain or something. And there could be a new one that I didn't
Everybody's
know.
Switching to a 3-pin slider. Like they've, yeah. I mean, like I have the digital React.
Oh, yep.
Which I really like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't do any ranging for you. It doesn't do anything. It just, instead of having to look at the little dial and say, you know, I think I'm on 73, it tells me I'm on 73.
Right. Yep.
But, like, I'm sure there's crossbow hunters that could argue, you know, against a Garmin sight.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, those, those are,
without a doubt,
you know, some states they're not even legal in. So.
Yeah. Yep. Without a doubt.
Some states there's you can't even use trail cameras. I mean, that's another thing too. That's like the cell camera whole deal.
Yeah, we actually we shot a doe during late season, and we have a couple cameras on the spot, and there was a spot kind of just across the road, and some doe starts up. I'm like, oh, deer moving, like that's good. We get a picture of a doe walking out, probably 100 yards away. I'm like, oh. Doe just walked out right down there. And so we are on the gun. I'm on the camera. We're ready to rock. And out she walks. And we shot her. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, that was like, we had a really big advantage right there. I'm like, that was, I mean, it's legal. Like, it's awesome. Like, we do that every single hunt. But then at the same time, I was like, that was kind of weird. Like, it felt weird. Like, honestly. Yeah. Like, and I am the biggest advocate for cell cams. Like, I'm heavily addicted to them.
Same.
Awesome. Yeah. First thing I do when I wake up.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, it was just weird having that. Like, that was, like, the first time that I actually had something happen where, like, it was a clear advantage. Like, we were ready. Like, all she had to do was take a couple more steps. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was weird.
Well, and, you know, you start to pick the spots you go because you don't have to go into those spots anymore. You know, I had a hunt this year and nice buck came through that I wasn't getting a lot of pictures in there. It's a spot where I'm like, I can go in there and see bucks every time I go. Not every time, but when I go in there. And had a buck on camera come through. I'm like, he might come back through today. I'm going to go hunt there. And I went and hunted there.
Yeah.
Didn't see him, but I saw five or six different bucks. Yeah. And I'm like, I should be hunting here now.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And I hunted there hard because that time of the year, that's when I see bucks in there. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I killed that buck because of a cell cam.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in South Dakota, and I got a picture of him, and I drove 7.5 hours home, and I shot him that night.
Exactly.
If I didn't get a picture of him, I would have stayed and hunted that day.
Right.
Because I didn't film my tag. I drove back out later.
Right.
And went back out after I killed him.
Yep.
So, I mean, right there, I would not have – I mean, I could have killed him later, but the odds
– Yeah.
I own 8 acres.
Yeah.
You know, he came in for that doe.
Yeah,
and I was able to kill him because of that cell cam.
Yep.
Sometimes it's like you hunt because of the cameras too, which can hurt you as well because then you get the ding deer somewhere else. But it's like if they go away from cell cameras, are you going to hang cameras anymore? Or like if they ever did, would you hang a camera so you had to go back?
I would for intel.
Yeah.
Just because I like looking at deer.
I do too. I'm the same way. I would put cameras out for sure still.
Yeah.
For sure.
I probably would in a couple spots. I definitely wouldn't have as many as I do for cell cameras, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it pissed me off because I'm like, I can't even see them anyways.
Yeah.
But I'd hunt those spots. You know, I don't know. The cell camera thing, you know, some states are starting to look into.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I don't see them ever, like, completely getting rid of them, really. But I could see them doing something like you can only get notifications one time a day or something. Like, you have to get your pictures at midnight or something in non-shooting hours.
Yep.
I could see something like that, but I don't know if I can't see them just completely.
Well, think of some of these companies.
Everybody has them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how are they going to, like, manage that?
They would have
like,
had to do it right away.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And some of the companies like Tacticam, they're solely, well, they're not solely, I guess they do have
action cams.
Yeah. But some of these companies are.
Does SpyPoint do anything other than?
I don't think so.
StealthCam, I don't know. I know they have other stuff in their
company. They have regular cameras.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not cell. But I don't know. Does SpyPoint have non-cell cameras?
I don't.
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of, honestly.
What do you run for cell cams?
Tacticam.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we do too.
Yeah.
Well, I love half and half of a mix of junk ones and Tacticam.
Yeah. And then we actually, in Wisconsin, we run Moultrie, and we've actually had really, really good luck with Moultrie cameras.
I think.
Which is a stealth, right?
No, I think they're their own.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. What app do you use? The Moultrie Commander, or what is it called?
Muddy Stealth now?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking Muddy.
I don't even know what it is. It's just a Moultrie.
Moultrie, yeah.
Yeah. It's just a Moultrie app. And I don't know. It works really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I Tacticam is by far the best in my opinion, but
we agree.
It works good, but you can get a Moultrie cell cam for like $70 and like they work great.
Right.
Decent picture quality.
It's all right. The thing that the first picture that comes in is not the greatest, but you got once you request the HD, then it's good. But the thing that sucks about it is you have to wait for that camera to take another picture. To get it. So sometimes that kind of sucks, but for the most part, they're good cameras.
I think SpyPoint has a great software. I think like their like camera program, how they do it is great.
Yeah.
Like I wanted SpyPoint to work so bad. I bought 8. Sold 8, bought a couple other ones, sold those. And then I bought a couple flexes, and I had good luck with one of my flex. I only bought one, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'll try it. And the quality is really, really nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 33 megapixel. Like,
that's
you know, solid. If you watch the video, you're like, wow, that's awesome.
Yep.
And I had really good luck with that one. So I bought 3 more this year. One never worked. One went dead in about a week, no matter what.
Yeah.
And then one had weird connectivity issues.
Yep.
So two of them I couldn't even run because one would die, one never connected to a network.
Yep.
And I should have returned it. And then the other two I had to put behind my house so that I could like easily access
right.
it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because I couldn't, you know, some of my spots, I have cameras a mile from the road.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't trust that camera.
Yeah.
But if I put a Tacticam there in August, it's taking pictures in January.
Yeah, right exactly. Now. Yeah.
I did not touch it. It's on a site that I knew it was going to be a scrape like it is every year.
Yeah.
Went in there, did some stuff to it, walked out of there, and I have not been back.
Yeah.
And it's still taking pictures.
No, that's exactly our mindset too. Like a lot of our spots on those public pieces, it's all of a mile in, it's like you can't afford to have something not working. Like you need something that's going to work, and the Tacticams have been just awesome. This is my first year using them, and I'm not going to use anything else. Like they're just I just love them.
Their customer service is awesome too.
Yeah,
I had a cowl, think it was a rubbing pole, and busted like the antenna like completely out. And I'm like, I don't even know if this is fixable, but if it is, I want to send it in, and if it's not, I'm going to buy another one.
Yeah,
they fixed it up, sent it back, and
that's awesome.
I was like, sweet.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, all that's
sudden,
awesome.
All of a sudden, I just like get a picture from that camera, and I'm like, how's that work? And I just see the Tacticam office. I was like, sweet, it's working. Like, they're sending that one back.
That's nice. Hilarious.
Saves me $120 or whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, sweet. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And Stealth has its ups and downs. Like, I feel like they're very, like, this camera's pretty good. And then this camera is not that good.
Yeah. I run some Stealth. That's like what we first started with, my cousin and I. And some of them are good, some of them are bad, like he said.
Yeah.
Like he bought me a brand new one or whatever for Christmas one time.
Yeah. Like a React, like a good one.
Yeah. And the SD card just never like clicked in. You know, you click your SD card.
Oh, really?
Just never clicked in. And I'm like, so I just left it there. I never returned it. I messaged them and they never messaged me back.
Yeah.
And so I took like those toothpick pickers and I broke the end off. And I shoved it in there and I jammed it in the side and closed the door and it works just fine. So every year I have to get a new toothpick and just jam it in the side. That's what I do and it works just fine. I don't know.
It works.
But I was like, hilarious. I just kind of want to get that fixed.
You know, yeah. It's kind of like, I just bought this new camera. I feel like my SD card should go in.
Exactly. Yep.
So, like working at Ozonics and stuff, do you run an Ozonics?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Every hunt.
Give us your sales pitch on Ozonics.
It works really good.
Okay, well,
you should see. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I was honestly like, even because so the way I got hooked up with Ozonics was
tell us.
So Ozonics is they sponsored Midwest Whitetail.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I got roped in with it and stuff like that. But I never hunted with it really. I mean, the guy that I was hunting with, he used it, but like, there just never was a time where I was like, oh, wow, like that is like that aha moment. Like I didn't really have it. But then once I actually started using it, like there was a couple times I came back to Wisconsin and I just was velvet filming and I went up and sat in a stand and it was like, oh, my God, like how am I not? Why did I not use this before? Like, I mean, big mature does like direct, could not be more directed downwind, wind just did not care at all. And like it happens a lot. I mean, I will say this, it doesn't work 100% of the times, but like what does? I mean, we just got done talking about issues with trail cameras, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Nothing works
100% of the time, but it gives you a clear advantage, like 100%. Like it is really insane. And another thing that really opened my eyes was last year at the consumer shows, the amount of people that came up and they're like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but there will never be one not above my head when I'm hunting ever again. Like it's really, really cool stuff. Like it's pretty insane, especially with people that are pretty hardcore like us. Like, you know what deer is supposed to do. And there's seriously times where I'm like, this is just not
gimmick products versus something that works.
Yeah. And it's just like, when you see it work, you're like, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Like it's super interesting. And you know, there's sometimes too, where the deer, they'll kind of put their nose up and just be like,
looking for something
weird. Something but they is don't know. Up here, like what's going on? But then they kind of, you know, they look around and do their thing again. And like that's where it's huge. It's like we tell people at the consumers, if it gives you 10 extra seconds, four. 10 extra steps,
yeah,
that can be the difference between killing a giant buck or not.
Yeah.
And that's where it's really worth the money. Like it's really insane.
Especially, you know, that makes sense. And especially if you hunt in a spot, because that's where I hunt. In a spot where it's a lot of rolling hills,
yeah.
Your wind is never a consistent wind.
Yep.
You know, that makes sense now that I'm thinking about it in my head. Like, yeah, that might not be a bad idea because I do sit in spots where you're dropping, you know, whatever.
It's going every like, which way.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And then it's down and it's like, ooh, that's not where I wanted that one to go. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just never the same.
I hunt a spot on a bend of the Rush River and it hits a rock wall and I'll be checking it. And literally as you watch it, it's doing something different
whole
time. And it sucks. Cause it's a great spot and it's right on the edge of a bedding. So you mess up like that wind does just the wrong thing. You pull that whole bedding area out.
Exactly. And it gets to a point too. I mean, Cole, the guy I film, he's always talking about like a lot of time, most of the year we're still hunting the wind. But it gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, it's time to start hunting the deer. Don't matter what the wind is, we're going to put the Sazonics up and we're going to trust it. And it's pretty insane. Like, it was super eye-opening to me when I really started hunting with it. Like, it's pretty legit.
Yeah, some people might need it, you know, like, when people who are just like, I'm going hunting. Like, it'd be good for a person like that.
I'm going to go sit in this stand today. What's the wind? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, so do you have to know, like, all the product line stuff like that? Or are you
not
just,
really as much, honestly. Yeah.
Because
I probably should know it better than I do, honestly.
Because how many different products do you guys kind of have for?
Oh, gosh. We got probably four or five different units just that have come up throughout the years. We got a locker that is compatible with the Nozonics. We got a dry wash bag, which is, it's just like a foldable bag that you can use. Like, we use it out west a ton.
Yep.
We would go and hang it on a tree limb and run the Ozonics through it. And then they got ones for your car. You can put it in your car. That's basically the gist of it.
I definitely would invest in some of that, you know, even the bags and the wash bag stuff.
If I
have my own
nice.
Place.
Yeah. It's nice because then you just have a place to put it, honestly.
Yeah. So, and you know, if it's rather than sitting in a tote maybe that gets opened all the time, it's just zipped up, or you know, it's just that extra security, like we always talk insurance, you know. It's it's always good to have that little insurance and having things.
Like how I kind of look at it is it's not gonna hurt you.
Mm-mm.
You know, if it doesn't work 100% of the time, it didn't hurt you.
Yep.
You don't use your, you know, you pay insurance every month.
Yeah.
It's like, you maybe not use it
might
for
never
3 years.
Use it.
Right. That time where it works and it helps you. And
exactly.
I hit someone last week. It's nice to have it. I backed into the guy.
One ton truck is bigger than he thought.
And it moves a fucking little car pretty easily. No, that's awesome. I definitely probably need to look into something like that.
Yeah, it's super cool technology. And like I said, like, it doesn't work all the time, but if it can gain you that extra 10 seconds, it's worth every single penny.
For 100%. Sure.
That's the way I look at it. So
What's your kind of game plan this year? Do you do a lot of shed hunting and stuff around Wisconsin, or do you do?
I've never been like a big shed hunting guy, but after the bucks that we had on public, I'm really ready to put some.
I can show you how to shed hunt if you need me.
You guys need to come down. Seriously,
we don't drive down any day of the week.
Right. Yeah, I'm really planning on doing some this year, and then, just scouting a lot. Last year, I didn't really have too much time to. I like to scout like in March.
Yep.
You know, it's just once the snow leaves, it kind of looks like the fall a little bit. You know, yeah. So I like doing it that time, and I really only got to look at one piece last year. And actually, I need to say this. So the spot that we had the 47 bucks on, I can't take any credit for it. Cole, if you're listening, thank you for telling me about that spot. So
he would have given you
shit. he kind of showed me the ropes on there, but I went in there and scouted it and found some great scrapes, and it was the scrapes that we had cameras on all year, and it was insane. So I really want to just keep, you know, branching out and keep finding more spots, and would really like to find some sheds, and then I'm really, really looking forward to turkey season.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for turkey season. Last year was the first year that I really even did any of it. I have never bought a turkey tag ever.
Oh, really?
Ever. And
what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I seriously don't know. Like, after like the first few hunts, I'm like, what have I been doing my whole life? Yeah. It was so much fun last year, so I'm all in this.
Did you send in for Wisconsin too? Or do you just go in Iowa?
I'm just going to do Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably just going to do Iowa.
How many tags do you get? So less stressful.
Like, yeah. It's just fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I had just an absolute blast. It was just so fun.
Yeah.
And in Iowa, if you do bow only, you can hunt all throughout. You don't have to just do a season.
You can do a month or whatever.
So you can do, I'm going to get two bow tags. I'm going to try and shoot my first one ever with a bow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be, I don't know, I'm probably going to screw something up, but I'm going to try.
Okay, that brings something else up here quick. That video that you had on Instagram, I think Ozonix posted it, when you missed that doe.
Oh, God.
You got to tell that story. I don't even know if you should. I don't think I. Did I show you?
Yeah.
This is
yeah,
bad.
I showed him. Sorry.
No, I don't care. This is bad. That's the thing. I love the podcast, but sometimes it makes me just look like an absolute idiot. Yeah. So, as you guys, like I was saying, I don't really get to hunt very much. And
right.
There was one Sunday morning, Cole was like, just bring your bow and just go hunt. I'm like, all right, sounds good. So I'm sitting up there. I'm all fired up. I'm like, I'm going to just shoot the first thing that walks by. I was so excited. Oh, it walks this. It was probably a fawn. It was a small deer for sure, but it comes in, and I draw back. I'm settled on that shoot, just miss her by a mile. I'm like, all right, sweet. Well, she just stays out there. Comes in, gives me another shot, same thing. Shoot, miss, comes in again. I miss her three times. And then I ran out of broadheads. I only had three broadheads. And so I'm like, all right. So I call Cole. He's sitting like 500 yards away. He can see where I'm at. And he's like, why aren't you shooting that deer? I'm like, well, I'm out of broadheads. So he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I've literally missed this deer three times. And we're sitting there. I had like a 20-minute conversation with him, and it just stayed out there. Just eating. And I don't know what it was. I don't know. I shot great with the bow all summer. I shot my bow more than I ever have in my entire life. Like,
did you go back and shoot it? And it was,
yeah, it was fine.
Really?
Everything was fine. I don't know if
did you shoot your broadheads?
Yeah. Like, everything was good. Like, I don't know.
You got just one of those moments
here. So here's what I think happened. So it was my first year shooting a 3-pin. And like, when I was like bearing down on her, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, my mind was just going a million miles a minute, and yeah. I just whiffed all three times. I don't know. It was really weird, and I don't know. I've noticed that, like, when you're filming so much, you're just so in the filming aspect.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, it's just such a different, different feeling. Yeah. And, like, it just, my mind was just going, it was 100% buck fever, even though it was a little dull. Right. But,
yeah. Well,
but,
yeah, and you don't get to hunt that much.
You shot a deer with your bow?
Would have been 2022.
Oh, okay.
Or no, 2021.
2021. Yeah. A couple years.
Yeah, a couple years. And it was the first time I've even thinking of picking up a bow because all of the, all the 2022 season with the Midwest Whitetail, I didn't even think about carrying a bow.
Right.
And then it's kind of the same thing this year. And so it was just, it was really, really weird. It was a weird thing that happened, and I'm super ticked off about it because I was really excited just to put a tag on something.
Right. And, but it's good that you, like, you know, I was glad it was just a doe or, and you missed it. But it's like, you kind of got to shoot some does once in a while to figure out, you know, a new sight, new bow, whatever you do, you know, it's good to go out there and get a doe down.
I was just ticked because I've never been more confident with a bow, like, ever. Like, I was shooting 3D tournaments. Like, I was doing everything. Really? Like, and I was just having a blast. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I've never felt so confident. And, like, I'm shooting this bull really good. And then first chance, I just screw it up bad.
Well, our buddy Trey always says, like one of his favorite things to do is shoot a doe early.
Yeah, just
like, to, just to just, like, you know, I can do it. I'm good.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. And he utilizes the meat, so he always wants the meat. And,
yeah.
You know, he gets summer sausage and sticks made. Yeah. And he says, like, you know, shoot one early, you have sticks for the season. You know, yeah, and I'm exactly. like, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. You know, like, I got stuff getting made right now.
Yeah,
But, yeah. Yep. What kind of broadheads do you shoot?
The G5 Mega Meats.
Okay. Yep. I shoot the dead meats.
Oh, yeah, nice. The dead meats are just, it's basically the same thing, just a little smaller, right?
Exactly, yeah. I think it's like 2¼ is the mega meats, and I'm an inch and a half or inch and 3/4.
Yep.
But I just like I shot Rage, shot a coyote, Rage didn't open up on it, and I was just like, ooh, I don't like that. So then I switched to, what are those? The NAP kill zones.
Yep.
And I had some weird drag on those. I don't know really what was going on. I used to have a Hoyt spider that I was shooting, and I missed this buck, and it's weird. I missed it at 40 out west on the ground.
Yep.
And didn't know I was there. Missed it. It like reacted to the arrow and just was kept walking. And I was like, God, I was right on that deer.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird. So I crawled forward. It kind of went into this little thicket, and I crawled up and I got to like 30 yards. Shot at my 30, missed it again, like 2 feet off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I crawled and I got to 12 yards and I missed it. Grazed the hair, and I was like, and our buddy Matthew was with us, and if you knew Ellsworth, he was like, what are you doing, Carl? I'm like, dude, it's not me. And he's like, you missed it, you got buck fever. And I'm like, and Matthew's hard to argue with. And I was like, I'm telling you, I didn't miss this deer. But we got back to the truck, pulled the block target out, pulled the field point out, smoked it. And then he's like, I told you it was you. And I'm like, it's not me. So then I was like, I'm shooting a broadhead. And I pulled out a broadhead, like settled on it, missed the target clean. Jesus. Didn't even hit the target at 20 yards. And I'm like, I told you. And I don't know. I spent a lot of time up at A1, like 3 hours one day. And it's long story. I blamed it on the kill zones.
Yeah.
But I think it was actually the bow. Cause we did some stuff to it and it shoots okay now, which I don't shoot it, but I don't know.
I really wish that my story was similar to that, and I wish I had an excuse, but it was just 100% me. I'm not going to lie. It was like
me and Dan. I had Dan up at A1. That's who helped me that day. And like, he shot it because he wanted to make, after he's seen the weirdness, after I shot him, he was like, you care if I shoot? Because he wanted to feel it because it was so weird.
Yeah.
And then after I think I was leaving for a trip. I think I was heading to Nebraska like that week. And I was like, I just need a 20 and a 30. Like, as long as I know I can kill at 20, 30, at least I can hunt.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, no, it should be good, but you should probably buy a bow at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah. But
yeah, good salesman. Right?
You might want to buy a bow at the end of the year.
Yeah. You switch to the good side.
I switched to Matthews again. Oh, I actually always shot Matthews, but The year that I was going to buy a new bow, they came out with the Chill R.
Okay.
And yep. I hated it. So
you shot the Chill R?
I went there and shot it, and I hated it. And I was like, I don't want this bow. And Hoyt Spider came out, and I shot that, and I was like, wow, that thing's freaking sweet.
Yeah.
So I went to Hoyt.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, I think Matthews is doing pretty good.
Yeah. Even though I had bad luck with it, I still love my phase four. I shoot the phase four, and I love it. I mean, like I said, like I had just a blast shooting with it and super confident with it, and I just hope I can get a chance here at something.
Right.
Just to get back in that killing mindset a little bit.
I think the integrated is, like, genius. I can't believe it hasn't been done.
I know.
You know, up until now, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The technology within that it's pretty awesome.
Right.
It's sweet. It's really sweet.
They've definitely taken over that way.
Matthews. Created
their own accessories and been able to just use this. It's all ours.
Our bow's cheaper, but you got to buy our accessories.
Accessories
are not cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the accessories are dang near as much as the bow.
Oh yeah.
Once you really start getting into it, it's crazy.
I know. I was looking at stabilizers yesterday, and I was like, oof.
Crazy expensive.
The integrated ones are like $250 for the 8-inch.
Super expensive.
8 inches? $250?
My wife pays less for that.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. But they're nice. And the fact that like the lift's 4.2 pounds and it weighs less than the carbon.
Yeah.
Hoyt. I mean, that's just great engineering.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Thought it all.
Yep. Yeah, I like the new lift.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So, do you do any filming kind of for your own little YouTube channel? What is that? You don't do any of that
anymore? Nothing anymore. Nope. Yeah. Not since I've started everything
here,
you know.
I'm sure you're so busy. You know, you're just so busy. There's no sense.
There's no time to. And if I ended up killing something with the Ozonix above my head, I would just use it for Ozonix anyways, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
So, yeah, no, I don't just with the Ozonix right now. So
yeah. You got anything else?
You got a dream hunt? Anything? Like that, if you had one hunt.
And he lives in Iowa.
That's true. You got our dream hunt.
Right. Number one is shooting a giant in Iowa for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, definitely, I really would like to shoot a bull elk with my bow.
Archery elk.
I think that would be really, that would kind of be the pinnacle for me, I think.
Yeah.
So
when you were going to school in Eau Claire, did you think you were going to be moving to Iowa?
No. God, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, just being like a diehard bull hunter, you're always kind of like, God, it'd be sweet to live down there. But it's like, I'm not just going to go down there just to go down there.
Right.
So when I had the excuse to, I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be awesome.
Right.
Yeah, it's been great. And I absolutely love it down there. It's just awesome.
I've asked my wife to move to Iowa a lot. She's not biting. Yeah. Right. There's nothing down there. Like, there's huge deer down there.
Right. Oh, there's something down there.
Yeah.
Why do you want to go to Target all the time? They got those there.
Right. Yeah.
What? Where can people find you on like Instagram and stuff like that?
So my personal is NickSimon_3, and then obviously Ozonix Hunting. Everything on there is mostly stuff. Pictures that I've taken, videos I've taken.
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's awesome stuff. That's why I kind of wanted to reach out, because I mean, it's super cool what you're doing and what you got going.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then obviously our podcast, Ozonix Killer Wins Podcast. It's under Ozonix Hunting on Spotify, Apple Music, and then it's on YouTube as well. So
yeah,
yeah.
No, that's awesome. I appreciate you. It kind of just worked out perfect.
Yeah, it did work out really good, actually.
Coming home this weekend. So I was like, sweet, let's figure something out. So you got to head back tomorrow?
Yep, going to leave early tomorrow morning before work.
Yes. So. 2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It works. So
appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It was really fun. So.
Yeah, I'll close this out here for us quick, and we'll get you on the way.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the podcast. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Stay tuned.